sure is a joy to get to stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. Amen. For their sakes. We read verse 19 a while ago. We'll go ahead and get into it. It does us good to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. We know that for those of us who are saved, that we are sinners saved by grace. We know that, don't we? And it's good for us to remember that, that we are sinners saved by grace. Our imperfections are often pointed out to us, as they should be. Why? Because our imperfections remind us of our dependence upon Christ to live for Him. Without Jesus Christ, we would still be lost in this world without any hope of ever being forgiven in and of ourselves. Without Christ, after He saves us, without Christ, we cannot live for Christ. We would live a life of constant defeat. Our flesh, our adversary, the devil, and sin would rule in our lives without Christ. We'd be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The trials and tribulations of life would compass us about like waves overcoming a small boat. Without Christ, we would only have each other to turn to. And that leaves a dilemma. Thank God for the church family. Thank God we have each other, right? But without Christ, we would do each other no good. We would be a depressed people meeting together, leaving depressed without Christ. We'd be a bunch of depressed people depressing each other. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Again, it would do us good to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to know that I belong to Christ and that one day I'll be with Him for eternity without any doubts. Let's look at some scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. And we'll go there quite a few times today. Verse 29. Let's back up to verse 28. These are very familiar scriptures. I love just reading them on a regular basis. Romans 8:28. This is, again, a very familiar scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The word love there, you see the word love? That's in the present tense. That means continuously and repeatedly. Who are those who love God continuously and repeatedly? Only those whom He has saved. Only those whom His love dwells in. To them who are, notice this, the called, that is a class of people. The called, if you look at the word called, if it means saints, according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Now listen, these verses 29 and 30, this gives us much assurance that we will be with Him for eternity. Wow, look at it, for whom He did foreknow. What does foreknow mean? Look it up, it means a previous choice to love. He previously chose to love us. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now folks, if He chose to love us, if we are predestinated, then no one can alter this work. Cannot be changed. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at verse 13. Moreover, even more so, whom He did what? Predestinate. And I know there are people who don't like these words, but it's all through the Bible. Them He also called. Now look, those whom He predestinated, what did He do? He called them. And those and whom He called, them He also justified. Who did this? It's all the working of God. Where are we at here? What part do we have here? We don't. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, this was settled from before the foundation of the world. Who I am Christ? I'm a child of God. I'm one whom he has redeemed. I'm one who has been given to him by the Father. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's wonderful to know that I'm a child of the King. It's also wonderful to know that all of my sins have been forgiven. All of them. Every one of my sins. So are you sure? Are you sure he didn't miss any? He didn't miss any. We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. While he was on that cross, our sins was placed upon him. 2 Corinthians 5:1, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And these are not new scriptures to us. We know these scriptures. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we now, who were once enemies with God, at enmity with God, the Bible says, we now are at peace with God. Some may say, well, that's a good thing, because I was getting ready to do something. No. It's a good thing because the Bible says that the wrath of God abided on your head before he saved you. To have peace with God is a peace which does pass all understanding. Romans 5:1, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are those in this world that scoff at the fact, at the biblical truth, that Christ died for our sins. They scoff and say, he may have died for your sins, but you've got to work to maintain. These are scoffers. These are those who do not know the Bible. They do err not knowing the Scriptures. Again, we must base everything upon the Scriptures. Hesitant to share what's on my mind here. But I'll share it, and I hope you understand that I'm sharing this in love. I was at a funeral this past week. Had the opportunity to stand up and preach the gospel, and did. Another man got up, and he preached the gospel. And then they had a time for testimony. People to get up and say things. And that was really good. I enjoyed it. This was a friend of mine that died. We were all crying. And then one guy stood up and says that he knows that that guy that died is in heaven. Because that evening that he died, he saw a cloud. And this guy's face was in the shape of the cloud. I'm not making this up. Am I, Brother Clint? Brother Clint was there. He said this guy had a smile in the cloud. And as the sun went down, a cloud went up. And that he had a halo. He said, so I know he's in heaven. I didn't say all I was thinking. I mean, it wasn't my place to say. I guess on one hand, I wish I would have said something regarding that. But folks, our assurance of salvation is found nowhere else but in the Word of God. And that is it. It's not in a cloud. It's not in a feeling. It's not in the emotion. Our assurance is only found in the Word of God. Why? It never changes. This is what God has given. The Bible says that the devil is an angel, or can transform himself into an angel of what? He's a deceiver. He'll do all he can to deceive us and to keep us from looking at the truth. We must look. We must trust what the Word of God says. Where does our faith come from? The Scriptures. It's not of ourselves. All of us who belong to Christ, folks, I got some good news for you. We can never be separated from Him. Never. Not possible. There are those who believe you can lose salvation. Again, they do err not knowing the Scriptures. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. We'll start in verse 33. And I know that we know these Scriptures. And I hope that you, as I'm speaking, that Scriptures come to your mind. Because we must base everything again upon the Scriptures. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's who? What? It is God that justifies, not man. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Nobody else can condemn except Christ. And yet he says that Christ died and rose again, who is even at the right hand of God. What's he doing? What's John 17 about? The intercessory work of Jesus Christ, who also maketh intercession for us. If you remember, we learned that His intercessor is intercession, I got in a second, is never ending. It's a never ending priesthood. Why? Because He ever lives. Never to die. Look at verse 35. It's a question here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And I want to encourage you, if you write in your Bibles, right here, put, but not separated. Amen. That's good stuff. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, even over death, through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. John chapter 10, more familiar scriptures dealing with this biblical truth. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And just as any man pluck them out of my hand, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I, my Father, are one. John 10:27-30. Something else that's very encouraging here. We are secure in Christ. He fully paid our sin debt. But He says in John 14, He's also going on prepare a place for us. Amen. He doesn't make mistakes. We learn in John 14 that He doesn't build too many or too few mansions. We also learn that a mansion is simply a room. It's not a southern plantation home. But in John 14, verses 1 through 3, Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Again, as we've been going verse by verse through John 17, We've been reminded, and we need to be reminded this often, that Christ ever lives to intercede for us. So who am I in Christ? Who am I? I'm a new creation. A new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, again, more scriptures that we know. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things are become new. All who are saved, been saved by the grace of God, we've been given to the Son by the Father. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's very, very comforting. Especially when we are witnessing to others. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Who are we in Christ? Who are we, period? We are a people who have been given to Christ, given to the Son by the Father. John 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to who? Notice this, to who? To as many as thou hast given him. Look at verse 6. Have manifested thy name unto the men which thou, what? Gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They are thine. And verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So who are we? We are those who have been given to the Son by the Father. We are those whom God planned to do this from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. If you take notes, write this down. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You may ask, why did you go over all that? Does that even go with verse 19? It does, and I'll show you in a second. Folks, we should never doubt the love that Christ has for those who belong to Him. We should never doubt that. That love is beyond our comprehension. The love that Christ has for those who are His is an unconditional love. It never wavers. It never falters. And it can never be taken away. How wonderful is that? That's more than wonderful. If we ever doubt if God loves us or not, all we need to do is read the Gospels and we'll see what Christ did. Christ came to do the Father's will, and in doing the Father's will, Christ died for His bride, the church. Christ did this for their sakes. Verse 19, John 17, and for their sakes I sanctify myself that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Now, as I look at this right here, I say, you know, we could chase many rabbits down many trails with just that phrase right there, for their sakes. But let's try to study this in context. Sanctify in this verse means to consecrate as being set apart of God and sent by Him for the performance of His will. Folks, Christ was set apart to do what no one else could do. And, moreover, what no one else would want to do. No one else could come and die for the sins of all whom He will save, right? No one could do that. And no one else would want to do that. Christ told the disciples in John 13, whither I go, ye cannot come. No one else could pacify the wrath of God but God. And Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. Christ did this for our sakes. Again, keep in mind here in John 17 that Christ is interceding for us. In other words, Christ is going to the Father here on his own merit. Not anyone else's. We can't do that. I can't just go to the Father and say, Father, you know me. You know how good I am. I haven't messed up. I haven't ever sinned. Can't do that, can I? But I can go to the Father through who? His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the way God designed it. We only go through Jesus Christ. He told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Acts 4:12 tells us there is no other way, no other name given unto men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name is only, of course, the name of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10. Let me turn there. Again, familiar scriptures. 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That word boldness, do you see that there? That does not mean that we just burst in, kick the door open, and demand God. That's not biblical. You and I have no ground to demand anything from God. The people who think that have a small God in view. Boldness here simply means freedom. We have the liberty to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How do we get there? Again, not of our own merit, but by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Christ is the only way to the Father. Christ sanctified Himself for this work. A body was prepared Him, Hebrews 10 tells us. Christ willingly did this. Willingly. I know that you and I would willingly, more than likely, lay down our lives for our children, wouldn't we? Would y'all? Miss Brandy, would you lay your life down for Dylan and Dakota? Miss Denny? Or your youngins? Even though they bad sometimes? But Jeremy? We can go around the room, couldn't we? I don't see anybody saying no. But how about this? Would you give your life for someone who hated you and your kids? Would you do that? My mind says, no, let's go fight. What did Christ do? He came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. Romans 5 tells us that God commended His love toward us and that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Only Christ could do what Christ came to do. And no one else would want to do what Christ came to do. He came willingly. John 10:17-18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Again, folks, He did this for our sakes. Christ sanctified Himself, set Himself apart, that we might be sanctified, this verse says, through the truth. Now folks, that's the only way. We are a sanctified people, being sanctified, John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. The truth is the word of God. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. The word of God does not simply contain truth. It is truth. It is infallible. It is God-breathed. This is what God uses to sanctify His people right here. The Word of God. You know, thank God for music. I like music. I know some people think I don't, but I do. I like good biblical music. Songs that when they sung, that they are truly a biblical song. There's a lot of junk out there today. Amen. They even claim the name of Christian music. What I'm getting at is that music does not cleanse us. Music does not sanctify us. What does? The Word of God. Music is easy. It can be easy. Now, folks, don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. Amen. Thank God for music. And thank God for biblical music. But folks, we got to get in the Word. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it is what? Sharper than a two-edged sword. And if I understand that correctly, it's speaking of a surgical tool that goes in and cuts out that which is bad and takes it out. Not to run you through and split you in half, but to take that which is bad out. That's what the Word of God does. It does cut us, doesn't it? It also heals us. It binds us. Christ sanctifies us through His Word. Without it, we are not being sanctified. So we must ask ourselves this question here. Am I being sanctified by the Word? And if we are, our life will show it. We will be becoming more like Christ. The Word of God, listen, it exposes sin in our life. And when it does, we are to confess it as sin and repent from it. Here's the thing, this is not a one-time act. That's what we want. We want this to be done and over with. Off the list. Finished. No, don't work that way. It's every day. It's continual. It's for all of life. The sanctification process. You know, I believe we can all agree that this is a wearisome process. That's where I was going with this. It's wearisome to fight sin continually. And it affects us spiritually. Not just fighting sins in our own lives, but if we got kids, guess what we find ourselves doing? Fighting their sins too. And the older them little devils get, the more obvious they are little devils. So the more we're fighting, and we tend to leave ourselves hanging, we become weary with well-doing. Is it right to fight? Now, I'm not good with words, so fight's the only word I can use here, because the only word I know is probably not the correct word. But I think about Job. What was Job doing for his kids? Continually, what was he doing? He's making sacrifices for them. I believe he was checking on them old boys and them girls, making sure they're doing right. In case they sinned and didn't realize it, he wants them to be right. Do you think that wore on Job? Of course. And then when you have a child that's a wayward child and just open rebellion, it weighs on you even more. We find ourselves being worn down with fighting the sins of those who we love. But you know what? Fighting our own sins takes a toll on us too. We've been studying on Wednesday nights, tremendous studies. Great help. I mean, the Word of God has been slapping us in the face. At the same time, it's been cuddling with us. Amen. Our minds, our hearts are so wicked. fighting our own sins wears us out. Fighting the sins of our family wears us out. But I want to encourage you just for a second. This fight that we're in, we're not alone. And Christ is with us. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer. He empowers us to live and to die for Christ. We're not alone. Christ did what He did for our sakes, what it says here, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. We cannot trust the arm of the flesh because it'll fail us. It fails us continually, yet we always find ourselves going back to it. Why? Because it's so easy. It's just so easy. Scripture read this morning, Proverbs, and not to trust our own wisdom, our own understanding. We must remember that we are new creatures in Christ. I thought about this morning as Brother Justin was teaching about creation. And I even wrote my notes, John 17:19, for their sakes. Why did God create this world? Did it add to His glory? Why did He do it? For their sakes. Our sakes. Anytime we find ourselves fading from serving Christ, it stems from a direct result of not staying in the Scriptures. Or what's just as bad for those of us who teach and preach. If all we're doing in teaching and preaching, if all we're doing is preparing a lesson, we're in trouble. Now hang with me, okay? If all we're doing is preparing a lesson to give to others, if that's all we're doing, we're here. We're in trouble. Now I thank God that I have an obligation to teach and to preach because it does drive me in the Word, and I need that. I need to be driven. I do. But if the only time I'm getting the Word of God is just to prepare a lesson, then I'll find myself starting here, and when I get to the end, of course, I stop, and then I'm gone. I'm done. Walk away. In other words, that's good for them. It's not necessarily good for me. Does that make sense? Y'all watch me now. We cannot just gather information to give to others. We must serve Christ out of love. Now, when we get here, our focus, Colossians 3 tells us that our mind and our affections should be on things what? Above. When we get here, our mind and our affection is on, I'm going to write it down. Life. When our minds and our affections are on life, then we'll give our energy, our time, and our resources to this right here. Now folks, don't take this to the other extreme and just say, well, then none of this matters. That's not what I'm saying here, okay? It's very important that we provide for our homes, our families. The Bible says if a man don't work, he don't what? He don't eat. When we're focused on life and not on Christ, we'll again find ourselves worn, slapped out. There's a battle that goes on constantly inside of us. I think about what Brother Jeremy mentions often in teaching, that every morning the Lord is, in a sense, calling him, not verbally, okay? Never verbally. It doesn't happen that way. But a drawing to get out the stinking bed. Now, what's the flesh want to do? Yeah. How many of y'all hit snooze buttons? Go ahead and raise your hand. Snooze buttons was designed in the pits of hell. Because what does that snooze button do for you? Get you in trouble, makes you late. This past week, sometimes I've got to help Cody get out the bed. So I'm going to start helping him like my dad used to help me get out the bed. So a cold, wet rag in that joker, you get up quick. Because that wakes you up. But I had to get him up a few times this week. It probably means he's staying up too late whenever I'm in bed already. But he was in a rush. Got to the job. Said, go ahead and grease the machines. Can't. I mean, you can't. What happened? Forgot the batteries. So I need some water for this machine. I can't. Why? Forgot the water. Why do you forget? He's rushing. It means he didn't take time to read, to pray. Amen. Rush. We find ourselves doing the same thing. Now I'm glad that Christ didn't just rush into this world and rush out. He came here for our sakes. He fulfilled the law fully. He pleased the wrath of the Father. He pacified the wrath of God. Folks, we should be focused on Christ. Now, I'm not standing up here telling you it's easy. I think y'all know that. I fight just like you fight. I battle like you battle. I get defeated like you get defeated. Amen? But my victory lies in the same place your victory lies in. Not in myself. Christ Jesus. If we were to stop and examine our lives, what would we find? Where are we at? How are we doing? Also, may we remember who we are in Christ and what Christ did for us. And what He's doing for us. He did this for us, folks. And He's faithful to us. I'm glad He's not unfaithful to us like we are unfaithful to Him. Lord, help us. No, we are a needy people. A needy people. I don't know if you got any help from this morning or not, but I know I did. I'm glad I know that Christ loves me. That nothing and no one can take that away. How's our service for Him? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Again, for your faithfulness to us.